razor, hallelujah. In the presence of my enemies, I raise a hallelujah. I raise a hallelujah. Heaven comes to fight for me. I'm going to sing in the middle of a storm. Louder and louder, you're going to hear my praises roar. Up from the ashes, hope will
morning. I know there are a lot of folks traveling, there are a lot of folks that aren't able to be with us this morning. There's some that are still going through so many situations in their health. Love to see the blessings of those that God has brought them through, and just going to continue to thank the Lord for His many blessings. Let's all stand. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Praise God. Again, love each and every one of you. Good to see you. Those that are watching on the live feed, as we just prepare for our service this morning, let's just everybody turn off anything, any devices, anything in our mind, any situation, and just release it to God and just worship and praise Him and be prepared for His Word this morning. If you have a prayer request, just show by the raising of your hand. God knows and sees each and every one. Our most gracious and heavenly Father, Lord, we just praise You this morning. Dear Lord, we thank You for this beautiful day, dear Lord, for this opportunity You've given us just to gather in Your house and in Your mighty name. Dear Lord, we just pray now, dear Lord, and just want to worship You. Lord, we want to lift You up. We want to honor You. Lord, we just want to thank You, dear Lord, for Your many, many blessings. Dear Lord, for Your healings, for Your protection, and dear Lord, for Your provisions that You've always provided for us. But most of all, dear Lord, we want to thank You and Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, dear Lord, for Your sacrifice, for everything that You've done for us, dear Lord, and we thank You now. Lord, again, we just want to lift You up and honor You. But, dear Lord, as we bring forth the prayer requests this morning, dear Lord, there are many prayer requests that have gone forth. Those that are texts, those on our live feed, dear Lord, those that we get phone calls from. Lord, are those situations that we're personally going through. Lord, we ask now that You will heal and mend and protect each and every situation. Lord, those going through therapy, those are recovering from procedures, dear Lord, we thank You. We just let You continue to heal, to mend. And, dear Lord, and those that are just getting situations coming up, there are tests that are coming, dear Lord. And, dear Lord, we just need You to be with each and every one. And, dear Lord, for those that have lost a loved one, dear Lord, we just thank You, dear Lord, for the peace that only You can provide. Lord, we need Your strength. We need Your guidance. But, dear Lord, we just need Your holy presence with us at each and every moment of the day. Lord, again, we thank You for our pastor. Strengthen him and his family. Lord, all the ministries that go forth, we just praise You. And now, dear Lord, we just give You all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. And we all say,
amen,
amen, amen. Let's give the Lord another hand clap of praise. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. While you're standing, turn to page 177. Are you washed in the blood? Praise God. Y'all come on in and make yourself comfortable. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Does everybody sing?
Are you?
praise God. Just want to tell you how much Jesus loves you and how blessed we are to be able to call on Him as our Lord and Savior. We're so blessed. Amen, amen. We're going to get ready and take up the morning offering. I don't have any new announcements sitting here right now. Is any? All righty. Praise God, praise God. Don't forget about all our ministries, our food closet, of course. It's always in need. It's just a wonderful ministry. And just pray for all those that are involved in the ministries of all our organizations we have here. Praise God. Brother Thomas, would you ask the Lord just to bless our morning offering, please?
Dear Lord, we thank you, Lord, for another opportunity to be in your house, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for each and every one that come out today, Lord. Give you praise and honor. Lord, we love you. Thank you for all your blessings and honor, Lord. Bless all those that are not able to be here, Lord. Lord, that you love them and love them.
Yes. Amen. The Holy Ghost awakened me.
Yeah. Amazing love. I mean, he's glad for amazing love. But he knows that we are the recipients of amazing love. I don't know where that amazing love comes from. Amen. It comes from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Good to see each and every one of you. Amen. If you love Jesus with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body, give him a hand clap of praise this morning. Praise the Lord. Amen. What an honor. What a privilege it is. Amen. To love the Lord and to give him honor and praise. Good to be here this morning. If you have your Bibles, go with us to the book of Isaiah. And as you're turning, I just want to share with you, it's the seventh chapter of the book of Isaiah. Yesterday, we were sitting there in the house, and we were watching TV and just kind of relaxing, and I noticed that it started getting dark, and I looked out the windows, and the trees were starting to swirl around a little bit, leaves were kind of blowing, and the little awning that we have out there on the little patio set that we have started like it was going to lift and fly away. So I went out and I retrieved it and put it behind the little bench there so it would be okay. And I told Penny, I said, it's going to come up a storm. And then the rains came, and it was just really, really pouring down. And it lasted maybe 10 minutes, maybe. It may not have been that long. And then all of a sudden, there was the most beautiful brightness that followed that storm. Amen. It was eye-catching, because just as the storm caught our attention, so did that light and that brightness after the storm had passed through. The wind was not blowing, the trees were not swerving, the leaves were not going around and around, and I thought, my Lord, God is able to take care of us through the storm. Amen. We may look like we're in the storm now, but wait a minute. The sun's going to shine again. Amen. If you believe that, just give the Lord praise this morning. I believe we're going to see better times. Glory to God. Didn't mean to keep you standing, but I just wanted to share that with you. Reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 10. Again, from the book of the prophet Isaiah, chapter number 7, beginning with verse number 10. Moreover, the Lord spake again unto Ahaz, saying, Ask thee a sign of the Lord thy God. Ask it either in the depth or in the height above. But Ahaz said, I will not ask, neither will I tempt the Lord. And he said, or Isaiah said, Hear ye now, O house of David, is it a small thing for you to weary men? But will you weary my God also? Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive, and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And if you would flip over to the book of St. Matthew, chapter number 1, and verse number 23. Matthew's writing in the 23rd verse. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us.
Yes, Lord.
Can we bow our heads? Dear Heavenly Father, how thankful we are, God, for another day and another opportunity, and for the desire that you've given us to gather here this morning, God. And I pray that we would be in one mind and one accord, receptive, God, to what you would have us to hear. Father, I pray now that you would anoint this vessel. God, anoint these lips of clay. God, that the Holy Spirit might speak to us this morning. God, I pray for those who are sick, those who are afflicted, those who are traveling, God, and those who just need a touch from you. But Father, I pray also for the lost and the dying today, God, seemingly unconcerned. I pray, God, for revival. Pray, God, that you would stir the hearts of the churches today and the ministers, God, that we would proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Ask you now, God, to be with us in a mighty way, and we'll look to you, Lord, giving you all the praise, the honor, and the glory, for we ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, tell them how much you love them, and you may be seated. Amen. Praise God. Better love your neighbor. Amen. That's true. God is love. Bear with me just a little while this morning, if you would, as I attempt to bring a message entitled, Emmanuel, God with Us. Can I tell you that we don't only have God with us just during the holiday season or the Christmas season? Probably nobody alive today loves the Christmas season any more than I do. It's always been a wonderful time, rich in tradition, but most of all,
It is the remembrance of the birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want us to understand that Emmanuel, and the meaning of Emmanuel, and that is a promise, that is something that we're going to describe just a little bit later, but I want us to understand that that same Jesus is with us every day of our life. When we accept Him into our life as both Lord and Savior, we have a constant abode. That means He won't leave us no matter what we face, no matter what we go through. I want you to understand that back in the time when the prophet Isaiah received from the Lord, first of all, Emmanuel is not intended to be a personal name of Christ. It is, however, seen as a fulfilled in the whole account of the fulfillment of the whole account of the origin of Jesus Christ, the Messiah. It indicates His role by bringing the presence of God to man. The Gospel of Matthew further reiterates this, as it is written by an author who believed that Jesus is the promised Messiah. Jesus came into this world in a darkness of night when the skies were black. You remember the story. A deep symbolic picture of what He came to do. The light of hope ushered in, not when times were easy and bright, but when times were hard and things were uncertain. A time of struggle, a time of constant unrest and weariness. A time when it was necessary to have God with us. Can you put your hands together if you're thankful that God made it possible to be with us? Amen. The original prophecy was given some 700 years before the birth of Christ. I just want to encourage you, if you're praying and looking for an answer, don't give up. Amen. The prophecy was fulfilled. Your prayer request will be fulfilled too. I believe that with all of my heart. If we ask in faith, believing, amen, God said that all things are possible. We find that the people of Israel were divided, Israel and Judah, two separate kingdoms at this particular time. Especially, each kingdom had their own king. Neither was especially faithful to God. Amen. Understand, I'm laying this groundwork because I want us to see a type and shadow of what day and hour we're living in now. Neither king was especially faithful to God. Israel had united with Syria, a common enemy of Israel, a common enemy of the people of Israel, God's people. And they were against Judah. They had attacked Jerusalem, but could not prevail. They made it rough on Jerusalem, but they were not able to prevail. Now we find that God instructs Isaiah to go to the king of Judah, Ahaz, tell him to ask God for a sign. Ahaz refuses to ask God. Note that Ahaz was an evil king, but God loved Judah. Can I tell you that God still loves His people? Can I tell you that God still wants to help His people? And can I remind us that God is still with us? Amen. As long as we have that promise, Emmanuel, God is with us. Therefore, the Lord Himself gave a sign and a promise. God said, I'm going to do what no nation or king can do. God said, I'm going to create a miracle through a virgin birth to bear a son, Emmanuel, God with us. What a promise. Amen. Let me tell you this morning, we have the promise of God. Not the promise of a leader, not the promise of a king, but the promise of Almighty God Himself, the creator of heaven and the creator of earth and the creator of our own bodies, that told us that I am going to send a Savior. How many knows who that Savior is today? How many knows and understands that we must have that Savior abiding within us? We must open our heart's door and invite that promise, invite that miracle that God Himself said, I'm going to fix it. I'm going to work it out for every problem, for every trial, for every storm, for everything that comes against you. I'm going to give you the constant abode, amen, of my son, that precious Messiah that was born as a little baby. But can I remind you, He's no longer that little baby. He is a risen Christ. He is a risen Messiah. He is Lord. He is God in man. Amen. And now in the form of the Holy Spirit that lives within us. I got excited this week thinking about that. God brought to my attention the name Emmanuel. And I thought we mentioned it so much around the holidays.
But can I remind you, we ought to be mentioning each and every day of our life. Emmanuel, the promise, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to remind the church that God has not forgotten us. God has not put us on the back shelf somewhere. I don't believe that you and I, as mere mortals, can understand the full picture of what God is doing in the end time. But I know that prophecy will be fulfilled. As this prophecy was fulfilled, the other prophecies are fulfilled too. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, just as I saw that wonderful sunlight come after the storm, one of these days we're going to look up into the eastern sky, and the eastern sky is going to split wide open. The prophecy is going to be fulfilled. This same Jesus that you see going away is coming back in like manner. But until that day, until that time, I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I'll be with you through the storm. But better times are coming. If you believe that, if you believe a better time, a hope is coming. Put your hands together for Jesus, the Messiah. What a promise. What a promise. Today that promise holds true. I want you to understand we're not alone. Satan would have you to think that we're alone. You know, I was thinking this week, and how the things are transpiring in the world, and how the enemy is at work. The enemy likes to corner you up and say you're all by yourself. You're fighting this battle all alone. The church is dwindling away. There's not as many believers as there once was. You know all of his signs he gives. Let me tell you something. Sometimes it's a little disappointing when you see the empty pews in the church. But God reminded me that the empty pews does not signify that the church is dwindling away. I believe that with all of my heart, and you may not understand this, and I pray that God reveals to you, but I believe that God is raising up the church. I believe that God is filling in the church with people that you and I would have never thought would become believers. Brother Eddie, where do you get that reference from? Because I'm seeing people, I'm hearing people talk about the Lord that I've never heard them talk about it before. Listen, if they can't find God in the good times, maybe it takes the bad times for people to turn to an almighty God. And can I remind you, we're living in troubled times, but we're serving an almighty God, Emmanuel. God is with us. God is going to fight for us. We're not alone. We're not alone. Glory to God. We're not alone. Hallelujah. I'm so thankful that we don't have to be alone. We have a little utility room just off the carport. There we've been blessed with a wonderful little cooler that Brother Philip Priest gave to us. And it works perfect to put our drinks in. And we have Sprites and Dr. Peppers. And, you know, somebody said there's going to be a shortage of Dr. Peppers. I said, that's all right. I'm a Sprite man. I said, I'm a Sprite man. A little less caffeine. But Penny seems to be a little worried about it. So she's praying that there won't be a shortage of Dr. Peppers. Amen. But the grandkids know exactly where those drinks are. During the daylight hour when the sun is shining bright, it's nothing for Trey to go out there and get him one. But last night, the sun had gone down. It was a little late. The shadows had already crept in. It's a little dark outside. He kind of idles over to us and says, Papa, can you walk out there with me and get a drink? I said, well, you know where they are. Yeah, Papa, but it's dark. Amen. There's something about knowing that even when we go into the darkest times, we're not alone. God never said you'd have to go through that battle by yourself. Amen. The battles may be real. They may be hard. Sometimes it looks like we're in desperate times. But I will assure you with all of my heart, amen, that we will not enter into it alone. There is one who will be with us. His name is Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us. Oh, what a wonderful promise that is. We're not alone. We don't have to be alone. Whatever we face, we face it together with our Lord and Savior. And can I assure you today that we will not be defeated?
Man, many, many years ago, God spoke to me in a very thunderous way. Man, sometimes God speaks in whispers, but sometimes God really speaks in a thunderous voice. And I'm not saying it was one of those audible sounds where the rafters are shaking, but Brother Jim, it got my attention. Amen. It got my attention. You know, I know you've seen people that are become hysterical, almost, and maybe even in a state of shock. And sometimes the person that is trying to address the needs of that person who is in shock will do something as drastic as slap them. You ever seen that or read that? Where to get them back, amen, to knock a little reality into them, to let them get a hold of their emotions. And I believe that's what the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, amen. How many knows the Holy Ghost is not only a comforter, amen, it is a discerner of spirits, amen. And it is one sometimes that executes chastisement in our life to keep us straight. Thank God, amen, that it does. Because without the constant abode of the Holy Ghost that's in my life, there's no telling where I would be or where I would go. But I thank God not only for His comfort but for His guidance. God spoke to me during one of those times. Anybody in the audience ever had one of those times? What you have, my brother Eddie? One of those times when it seemed like everything's going wrong. Isn't it amazing when during those times we take our eyes off of what actually is going right? The breath of life that we have, the ability to go and do and all that, where all of a sudden it's everything's going wrong. And then the next thing out of our mouth is, God, do you not understand what I'm going through? Can you not see what I'm having to endure? Lord, am I the only one that's ever had to suffer in this way? This is one of those times that the Holy Ghost kind of checked me. I won't call it a physical slap up in the face, but it got my attention. And it was this: you are not a victim, but an overcomer. Why am I not a victim? Because I refuse to be victimized. I can still have trouble. I can still have problems. I still have issues. But I refuse to become a victim of those troubles, those problems, and those issues. Why? Because He that is within me is greater than anything I'm ever going to face in this life. And I refuse, simply refuse, to be a victim. I may be victimized, but I'm not going to be a victim. Because the Bible says, Emmanuel, God with us, lets us know that greater is He that is within you. You are more than conquerors through Christ, which strengthens you. Amen. Thank God. God is not only in us to be with us, but He also fights our battles for us. And I won't be defeated. We won't be defeated. Because God is with us. He will protect us. Amen. Protect us. Not only does He love us and He's a constant abode, but He will protect us. And certainly He will fight our battles. Here we find that the nation of Israel is divided. Think on that a minute. Seemed like something in the current events. Neither side is really submissive and obedient unto God. Ahaz, in some references, is described as one of Judah's most violent and most miserable and vile kings. But yet God loved the people of Judah. Israel had split off with their own king. They had sided with Syria, an enemy for years and years and years with the people of Israel. Isaiah, the man of God, seemingly the only voice, amen, of the power of God, speaking to a nation, trying to tell the nation, there is hope for you, there is victory for you, but you must turn from your evil ways, you must turn from your idolatry, you must turn back to Jehovah God, you must trust in Him who brought your ancestors out of Egypt, you must trust in Him who has promised you this land flowing with milk and honey that you now live
live in. But you seem to have forgotten. You seem to have put your mind on other things. Does that not simplify or exemplify a situation that is very real today? So many times we forget who brought us here. We forget who provided for us. We forget, amen, that we are a nation under God. And when we're under God, we should be indivisible. Not divided, but united. But the same thing happened in this time of Isaiah. God speaks to Isaiah. Can I tell you? I believe God's speaking to some hearts today. I believe He's speaking to some folks that maybe haven't heard from God in a long while. Or maybe I need to rephrase that. Maybe they haven't obeyed God. It's one thing to hear from God. Something very different to obey God. Amen. Sometimes I hear my wife. Hello? Just hearing it, it's not obedience. There are people today that are not necessarily living for God, but knows what the promises of God entail. Amen. I've talked to people that can quote the scripture. I've talked to people that knows exactly what the end time going to be about. I know they know it from prophecy. They know it from Sunday school. They know it from time of being reared in a house that is a God-fearing house. But they're not living according to the word of God. They're not obedient. But God's blessing and His love was still on the people of Israel. That ought to make some of us shout. I'll give you a little witness of a testimony. I didn't always live for God. Come on. But God loved me anyway. Somebody ought to know that. I've not always been as close to God as I need to be, but God loved me anyway. Amen. I've not always been completely submissive and obedient. But through it all, through all of my fallacies, through all of the things that I've had in my life, through all of the contraband, through all of the things of the world, God loved me anyway. Amen. And He loves you. And He loves this world. And I got news for you. As much hatred, as much division as they are in the land today, we have a God with us that still loves this nation, that still loves this people. But it's time for this people to love God. It's time for this people to unite under the anointing of Almighty God who is with us. But it wasn't the case here. So Isaiah hears from God and he goes to Ahaz. Isaiah brings his son with him. And that was for a purpose. He meets him by the conduit or the little cistern or the waterways. And there was probably a reason behind that too. But let me tell you something and what I got out of that. If God tells you to do something and He gives you explicit directions, do it. Man, if He tells you to go down and meet by the waterways, don't go over there on the dry ground and do it. Because God has a reason. God has a reason for everything. And here Isaiah goes to Ahaz. And in spite of God's abundant love and His mercy and His grace and His forgiveness that is beyond any one of our abilities to comprehend, how wonderful the grace of our Lord and Savior is. And God speaks through Isaiah and tells him to go and tell Ahaz, Ahaz, here's what you need to do. You need to ask a sign from God. Can I remind us that when all else fails, I like to put it this way, when nothing else will work in the medicine cabinet, and I'm not just talking physical now. Sometimes I think we have a spiritual medicine cabinet. We try to fix ourselves. We try to put a Band-Aid on it. When I was a little boy, I thought Band-Aids were miracle performing things. I thought if I was ever cut or scratched, if you just put a Band-Aid on it. Amen. I'm afraid that many of the churches are just trying to put a Band-Aid on it. Amen. I found out that my mom tried to tell me this all along. If you'll leave it uncovered, there is a healing process that takes place. Oh, Jesus. Let me just cover it up. It'll get better. Nobody'll ever know about it. I don't know how big your band-aid would need to be, but mine would need to be big. Not one of them little bitty strips. Brother David, I need a body wrap. I need a body wrap. Cover me up. Glory to God. Oh, somebody say it. If you leave that wound open, it'll begin to heal. There is a healing process that takes place. A couple of years ago, I went to my dentist. I had a cap that the inside of it had broken. And you know a country boy loves roast ears, steak. And I had to chew on one side, so I went. And he said, well, the news is not real, real good. I don't think we can fix it. We can either put a bridge there or we can do an implant. And I'd heard of implants. So I said, okay, let's do the implant. He told me the price, and I said, what? That's one tooth, brother. We're going to implant them all? Now that's one tooth. Okay, let's do it, because he told me the advantages of it and all. And I said, okay, let's do it. But little did I know the healing process that was going to take place. And I've testified of this before. He said, we'll put you a flipper in there. You said flipper? Yeah, flipper. Okay. Had no idea what a flipper was. I know what is one now. Now I still have it. Amen. As a trophy that I never want to do that again. But he said there's going to be a healing process. And we don't want to put that implant right back in, because the bone that it fits in is kind of worn away. And you know, you're looking at him kind of like this with your eyebrows. And he says, but let me tell you something. And this is remarkable. He said, over a period of time, the blood. I'm sorry, I know where I'm going. Y'all don't yet, but I'm excited. The dentist said the blood will rebuild and refurbish that bone that has brought deteriorated away, and it will make a structure strong enough to put that implant in. And he began to tell me about the DNA of the blood and all of the different things that combine into the blood that would actually make bone grow. Can I tell you, if you've ever been broken, if you've ever been hurt, if you've ever been talked about, if you've ever been abused, put it under the blood. The blood will make it just as strong as it ever was. Somebody ought to say, thank you, Lord. I know where to go. I go to the blood. I'm covered by the blood. Emmanuel, God with us, sustains us. It was a long period I had to wear that old flipper, but it was worth it. Because when he started to say, he'd check it every time, and he said, man, that is looking good. And I'd look in the mirror, and there was a gap up there. He kind of joked around with me, and he said, you're about the second or third preacher that I've had to put one of these flippers in. He said, now are you going to be like that one who just takes it out and preaches? And I said, no, I want to keep my congregation. So many, many times, you didn't know it, I was praying and preaching with a flipper in my mouth. But thank God that flipper's in the drawer somewhere at the house now, never to be resurrected again, I hope. But he looked and he said, it's looking good. And he just, you know, put around in there in that little spiky thing, you know. Man, that's looking good. That bone is really, really. Man, I want you to look. And I Yeah, I'm looking. I have to look in a little mirror that he's, look in that little thing. It looked like a hole to me. But he said, it's looking good. It's growing. Glory to God. Why? Because that blood could get to it. If I'd have just covered it up then with a plug-in implant or something, it probably wouldn't have lasted long. But I said all that to say this. Don't cover it up. Come on, don't cover it up. Don't try to hide it from God. Open it up and say, Lord, heal this wound. Lord, heal this hurt. Heal this agony. Heal this emotional thing. God, heal whatever it is that's coming against me. I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. You've got power. Don't you know that you've got power? Because Emmanuel said, God is with us. That means He's with us and gives us power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. Amen. We can say, in the name of Jesus, glory to God. God, how many knows there's power in that name? Hallelujah. Don't cover it up. Amen. Keep it open, that wound open. And let the miracle process of God's healing begin to make it stronger than it ever was. So Isaiah says, Ahaz, you need to ask for a sign of God. God's ready to give you an answer. God's ready to give you a sign. God's ready to give you a direction of what needs to be done. But Ahaz, for whatever reason, whether it was ego, whether it was just an animosity toward God, whether it was he thought he knew more than God, he thought he knew the right thing to do, said, I will not ask of God. For as many good signs that I see of people recognizing there is a higher power, there is a God, there's a God that's with us, there's a God that still has everything under control, and I'm putting my faith and trust in that. The flip side of that is I see a people that said, I will not ask of God. I'm not even certain if there is a God. In fact, if there was a God, why would he let all of this happen? If there was a God, why would he let Israel and Judah be divided? Why would he let warring structures come against brothers, amen, that were from the same origin, from the same anointed people of God? Why? Because they took their eyes off of God and began to put their faith in other things. This ought to alarm some of us. Israel tried to be like other nations. Going to leave it right there. We are supposedly a nation founded on godly principles. Why would we ever want to negate that and be like other nations? Why would Israel ever want to put down their Jehovah God and erect idolatries or idols to worship in idolatry? When you take your eyes off of God, amen, when you quit listening to God, when you're saying, I don't want God to be with us. Because when God is with us, He expects structure in our life. He expects responsibility. He expects us to be faithful to Him. Amen. And sometimes that's not very easy. It's easier to go our separate ways, but that's when we get in trouble. But understand and know that God had a reason. God was going to unite the people again. He was going to bring them under one government. He was going to bring them back as a united nation. Amen. But you have to go according to God's will and not your own. So God said, listen, He said, therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. He's heard of red flags. The saying is, when that red flag goes up there, it gets your attention. Amen. Brother Chris, y'all was raised in Florida. What is the sign when there's undercurrents and things, when you can't go in the ocean? Is it red then? It's red. Yellow is caution. Green means all in. I don't know. But you go into that ocean under the red flag. God said, thou shalt have no other gods before me. red flag. But over a period of time, people begin to say, well, God doesn't really care. We'll do what we want to do. No, you're not supposed to do that. Amen. You're not supposed to go against the ordinances and the precepts and the statutes and the commandments of God. But Israel did. And now their land divided. Brother against brother. King against king. But here's what the Lord said. Therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. I believe with all of my heart that for too long now we've looked to man for the sign that things are going to turn around, that things are going to get better, that a certain man can do it. Yes. Amen. When we ought to be putting our eyes on God. Amen. And say, God, we're just going to step back. This is hard for us to do. We're going to step back and we're going to release it into your hands. God, we're going to say whatever you do is going to be right. We don't understand. All we see now is the wind blowing. All we see now is the rain coming. All we see now is the dark clouds. But by faith, I see the sunshine coming. Amen. I see the storm clouds leaving. Glory to God. Not because of what we've done, but because God is with us and He will protect us and He will make a way because He is the way. Glory to God. And I believe that time's coming. Lord, Thy will be done, not mine. I've tried to pray my will too many times. And God has had to check me time and time again. No, this is what needs to be done. All I need is your faith. If the church will stand on faith today, I'm not talking about just First Pentecostal. I'm talking about ever born again believer. And I'm seeing signs of that. And that's encouraging. Because like I said, and maybe you too. Maybe you have seen. Maybe you have witnessed. Maybe you have heard people talking about the Lord that maybe you've never heard them talk about it before. And they see that these things are transpiring before our very eyes. They see that prophecy is being fulfilled right now in this generation that we're living in. And that shouldn't alarm us. That shouldn't frighten us. Because the Bible says, when you see these things come to pass, look up, for your redemption draweth nigh. How many is looking forward to redemption? How many knows that our redemption is not going to be down here? Our redemption is coming from a heavenly place. Our glory to God. A place prepared where Jesus Christ Himself is gone. And prepared a place that where He is, we will be also. Amen. Looking forward to that day. Do you love Jesus? Do you love the Lord with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your body? Glory to God. Amen. I'm so glad. And so thankful that God is with us through the origin of His Son, Jesus Christ. Through the promise of the Father that I won't leave you and I won't forsake you. And I will send a comforter in my name. So thankful for that comforter. But I'm also thankful for that guide. I'd have to depend on that guide constantly. You know, we were coming back from a trip. And it's amazing how dependent you get on technology and on certain devices. I don't know, some of you probably too young to remember pulling the car over and unfolding a map that you could never get folded back up the exact way. Try to find out where you are and where you're going. Now you just push a button and it tells you. And you know what I like about it? Well, I like several things. There's some things I don't like about it. Especially when I know that I'm going the right direction, but I need to veer off for just a minute. Recalculate. You need to recalculate. I said, you need to hold your horses. I know where I'm going. I pray that's not how we speak to God. See, I knew I was just taking a detour for a moment. I was going to get back on the right track. But you know what? It wouldn't be a bad idea if we fall by the wayside. If we veer off to the right or to the left, we lose our vision, our focus. That Holy Ghost to recalculate. Get back on the chosen route. Get back on the way that I want you to go. Amen? Because that's the thing with having God with us.
Man, he doesn't just meet us here on Sunday. I mean, he's thankful for that. He is a constant companion. If you're here today and you don't understand what the Scripture talks about or the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. He was not calling the Messiah Emmanuel as a name. How many knows there was Bible for that? His name is to be called Jesus. But it signifies the origin. It signifies the promise of the Father. Because up until the birth of Jesus Christ, the Father couldn't live in us. But how many so thankful? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God with us. Never ever take that for granted. But as God is with us, let us be submissive and obedient to His will. Would you stand? Please, every head bowed, every eye closed. Every saint of God praying. If you're here today and you don't have that constant companion of the Spirit of the Lord within you, and you would like to have that assurance that everything's going to be all right. If you lose your breath today, that you know where your destination is. If you don't have that assurance, let me point you to an altar of repentance. Let me point you to a Savior called Jesus. Let me ask you to open up your heart's door and invite Him in to be both Lord and Savior of your life. Still, with every head bowed, every eye closed, if there's one today that wants to make that commitment, this altar is open. While no one is looking, while no one, eyes are open. If you have a prayer request, lift your hand up now. Let this pastor know that you need prayer, and I'll be praying for you this week. Let's pray for these young people that have come forward this morning.